Today is a day that we're going to recognize Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. This past Friday, we had the March for Life in Washington, D.C. But this is a day that we want to recognize the value of life, the value of all life, and the fact that life begins at conception. And I understand that this can be a hot-button topic. And I understand that sometimes this topic might bring up some anxieties or some emotions or, you know, just whatever. But I'm asking you to listen with an open heart and with an open mind. Because the message today and the things that you're about to hear are shared with you out of love. There is no condemnation, there is no guilt, there isn't anything of that nature that will ever come from myself or anybody else on the leadership team of this church. But it's a message of love, and it's a message of hope that I hope that you hear today. So, Sanctity of Human Life was recognized in 1984 by President Ronald Reagan. He designated January 22nd as the day that we will recognize life, the importance of life at conception. And he did that to counteract the Roe versus Wade decision that the Supreme Court said in 1973 that abortion would be legalized. And in 1974 was when the March for Life started. So it's not like the entire nation was on board with this decision. But since President Reagan, some presidents in office have honored this day and recognized this day, and some have not. Now, we do have a current president who also is a hot-button topic. But he, President Trump, is the first president in history to speak at the March for Life rally this past Friday. So, I listened to it. I believe he spoke from the heart. You can say, well, you know, he used to believe this, he used to believe that. Well, I used to believe a lot of different things too. I am not the same person now that I was 30 years ago. You know. Kim, just. You know, but I believe that God can change hearts. God can change minds. Okay? And I believe that President Trump spoke from the heart with the things that he said. Now, here's the thing. Popular belief is that the Republican Party is for life and the Democratic Party is for choice or abortion. Right? But politicians will tell you what you want to hear to get their vote. So unless somebody backs it up with an action, I have a hard time buying into it, and I believe President Trump backed it up with an action the other day on Friday. Now, we also have a state representative from Louisiana, and her name is Katrina Jackson, and she is in the Democratic Party. And she has come out and said, I cannot buy into abortion because of my Christian values. And so she is taking a stand for life. Some would say she's breaking away from the Democrat Party a little bit. But here's the thing. I can applaud that. I can applaud any politician, any human being who filters their views through the Bible. So we do have politicians on both sides of the aisle who are filtering their views through the Bible. And I can get behind that. So I applaud anybody that does that. So, now that that's all aside, that's our political part of the discussion, can anybody tell me what the leading cause of death was worldwide in 2019? Abortion. 42.4 million worldwide. 42.4 million. This was a last minute little thing that I read, but the country of Iceland, I know it's not a big country, but they're really happy that they have eradicated Down syndrome through abortion. You know, 42 million is a big number. The most current stats that I could find for America Online go back to 2016. 623,000 lives in 2016, in this nation alone, we have destroyed through abortion. That's a large number, but the number is also declining. So there's some hope there. In the mid-90s, it was 1.5 million plus, give or take. So it's declining. So that is good. And I believe that that number is declining by a number of reasons. Education is one. This could possibly be another. People are buying into God's word. Imagine that. But you know, everybody can do something. And we here at this church, we're outward focused, we're community focused, we want lives to be changed. And in our clinics that we have the medical, vision, bicycle repair, we offer all kinds of services for the community. One of them being a pregnancy care center. We have a state-of-the-line 3D ultrasound machine. We have doctors, nurses. We have ladies here from this church who volunteer to help ladies come in and make a decision for the better. Last year, 2019, we had 183 ladies come through our pregnancy care clinic. 180. And when they decide to have their baby, we offer parenting classes for them. And we have, up in our clinics upstairs, we have a store. It's a baby store. It has items that the mom, if she takes these classes, can earn credits to buy things at this store. And so you see, we have a display out there. We're asking for donations. In your bulletin should be a flyer of a list of things in there. I think this is the last week we're doing that, the display out there. But if you see something on that list that you can buy and bring in, by all means, do it. You will be helping a mom and a baby with an item, you know, that they might need. Amen? Okay, so let's take a look and see exactly what the Bible says about life. So in the very beginning, also, what does the Bible say about life is what we're going to look at. And can we alter the plans that God has for his creation? Can we alter his plans? So, first of all, in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, it says that God created mankind in his image. So we have a creator. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the planets, the waters, the animals, the fish, the plants, everything. And then he created mankind. And mankind was the one living, breathing thing that he created in his image. Mankind is the one thing that he created to have communion with. We can talk to God. God talks to us. But we are created in God's image. And I find this very interesting in Genesis 1, chapter 27, where it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. You know, sometimes there's things that just jump out of you in the Bible. And I'm just going to think out loud with you, church. We're a family here. So I'm not saying this is true, but I'm wondering if maybe it is, all right? God blessed Adam and Eve, the man and the woman. And he said, go forth, be fruitful and multiply. He blessed them. And I started thinking about that. He created them and then he blessed them. I wonder if God blesses each life at conception. Does God bless the life of a human being? If he is the creator, does he bless them? Does he say, I bless this. I bless this one, and this one. And we're going to look at that by taking another look at a gentleman by the name of Jeremiah. So again, I just think out loud here. But then we look at Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was a prominent prophet in the Old Testament for God. And here's a conversation that he had in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, and it starts out with verse verse 4, really. Here's what Jeremiah says. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Here's what God says to him. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah says, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. So this is an interesting exchange. God's calling Jeremiah as a young man, teenager, to be a prophet for his nation. But he says, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. God knows the plans he has for us before we're even created. There's another psalm, is it Psalm 139, that kind of speaks of this same thing. And you know, Jeremiah didn't have it easy as a prophet for God. The people hated him for the message and the warnings that he sent from God. But God basically said, you know, listen, whatever you do, and he also goes on, he says, don't be afraid of what's going to come at you. I will deliver you from it. But nevertheless, Jeremiah walked out the calling in his life that God had for him. Jeremiah did what he believed he was supposed to do that God called him to do. And I just wonder if maybe this little exchange here was hope for Jeremiah that he hung to throughout his life. You see, God ordains life no matter the circumstance. This one here might be a tough pill for some of us to swallow. Whether a life is created under the covenant of marriage between a man and a woman, God ordains that life. Whether a life is created outside of wedlock, which is what I would call sexually immoral, God ordains that life. Or whether a life is created out of the most despicable tragedy we could think of, God ordains that life. I wonder if, no matter the circumstance, how a life is created, you see, God is just. Just isn't fair. Just is doing what is right. So could it be that God says, out of any circumstance, a life will be created from this because I see the future of what that life can be. I will give this voice, this life, a voice to help others who were created out of the same tragedy that this one is. I see that this one here is going to have a tough road ahead of him or her because of the decisions they make. But if they listen to my voice and to the people I will bring across their paths, they will come out ahead of this. They will be a voice of hope. They will be a voice of reasoning. They will be a voice that I give them. Because God is the one who ordains life. Who are we to decide who gets to live and who doesn't? Regardless of how a life was created, each life starts out as an innocent child. A child isn't born and says, I'm going to be a bad person. I'm going to make bad decisions. I 24 years from now, I'm going to wind up in prison. A child is born innocent. No matter the family they're born into, no matter the economic status, no matter whatever their surroundings are, go to the hospitals where children are. You will see innocent babies. Now, Some of us have a better upbringing than others. Some of us have a better economic status than others. But the fact remains the same. God ordains life, and life begins as an innocent child. So again, who are we to decide who gets to live and who doesn't? Because God has plans, I believe, for each child that is conceived. Just like he did for Jeremiah. God has plans for each one of us. Do we mess them up? Sometimes we do. But if we stay close to his voice, if we listen to those he brings across our path, we can rise above whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in. You know, could you imagine giving somebody a gift? Like you have this best gift, all-time gift. Like, I can't even think of how good it would be. It's so good. Such a good gift. And you're going to give it to somebody. You don't even know who. You're just going to give it to them. And when you give it to them, they don't even open it up. They just shred it up, rip it apart, put it on the ground, and walk away from it. How would that make you feel? You were so excited to give it to them. I wonder if God felt that way 42.4 million times last year. That's a big number. Doctors, lawyers, scientists, politicians, pastors, teachers, coaches, moms, dads, life changers, world changers. But none of them were given a chance. Think about the conversation between God and Jeremiah. And now think about 42.4 million conversations that were never allowed to happen. The creation is deciding who gets to live when it comes to the plans of the Creator. That's not right. God is our Creator. God sees each one of us as a masterpiece. He knows that some of us have a hard road ahead of us. He knows that not all of us are born in the best economic situation. He knows that some of us aren't going to be raised in the best neighborhoods. But he also knows that we could be a voice. We could be something powerful. We could be something positive for our community. He knows the plans that he has for us. And if we listen to his voice and stay close to him, you know, God wants to rise up people around this world to be life changers, to be his voice. But the creation is saying, we know better. You know, as followers of Jesus, if we believe in Jesus, we are a people who understand God's kingdom values for others. We should understand who we are in Jesus, and we should help others come to that understanding. And that we do not buy into the lie that life is invaluable, that life is not worth living for whatever reason. That's a lie. Think about this. God's creation. God sees each one of us. You know, we all have insecurities, and we allow self-esteem issues to come on, and we compare ourselves to others who are doing better than us. And God says, no, you are who I created you to be. You are perfect. Listen to me. You're perfect. Each one of us in this room, God sees as perfected because he created us. But there's an enemy out there, the devil, that wants nothing more than to see God's creation destroyed. And he will do whatever he can to keep God's plans from advancing. And I believe that's what's happening. If we are followers of Jesus, then this means that it is up to us to create a culture that sees people through the eyes of Jesus instead of the lies that have been spread that a life is determined by whether or not man sees it as valuable, whether or not man sees it as justified. Amen? I want to close with a little story. It's a good story. It kind of chokes me up sometimes, so hopefully I can get through it. But it's about how sacred life is. And it's the fact that everybody deserves a fighting chance. So there's this little boy. His family moves over by the ocean. And he can't wait to get out the next day and go take a walk on the beach. He's always wanted to see the ocean and see the sun come up. So he runs out there. Sun is just peeking up over the horizon. Waves are crashing in. But he sees up ahead of him, he sees somebody walking, and he can't tell what they're doing. And he gets a little bit closer, and it looks like they're bending down. They're picking something up, and they're throwing it in the ocean. And he's like, what is that? What's he doing? Gets a little closer, bends down, picks something up, throws it in the ocean. And he finally comes up. It's a man. It's an old man. And as he's coming up, though, he sees there's these starfish in the beach, right? And he sees the old man bending down, picking up a starfish and throwing it in the water. He says, what are you doing? He says, well, at nighttime, the waters come in, the tides come in, and these starfish come in with it, and then the waters roll back out, and not all the starfish can make it back out in the ocean. They get stranded here on the beach. And so I come here in the morning, and it's just my morning thing. I try to save what I can. I throw them back in the water. He says, yeah, but look at all these back here you passed up. He goes, what difference does that one make? You can't save them all. And the man bends down and he goes, throws one in the ocean. He goes, yeah, but I can save that one. Makes a difference to that one. Takes another step and he picks another one up and he throws it in the water and he says, made a difference to that one. And the little boy, he didn't even say anything. Bent down, he picked up a starfish, and he threw it in the water. And the old man and the little boy did that for the rest of the morning. They couldn't save them all, but they saved what they could. And then the next morning, the old man had a friend with him. You know, we might not be able to save them all, but we have a voice. We have a voice, and sooner or later, we should be able to put a stop to it. Amen? I want to close with this proverb. It's a warning, but nevertheless, it's God's word. Proverb 24, verse 11, it says this. If you say, surely we did not know this, Proverbs 24:11. Deliver those who are drawn towards death and hold back those stumbling to slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the heart consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Church, we can't say that we didn't know. When God's word tells us life is valuable. Let's pray. Lord God, I just feel compelled to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry as part of your creation that you had to see 42.4 million lives that you created not come to fruition, God. I want to ask for your forgiveness, God, as a nation and as a world, as your people, Lord Jesus. I ask that you would forgive us, God. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that if there's anybody here struggling in this area, God, for whatever reason, that you would shower forgiveness upon. upon them, God, and hope, Lord God. If there's anybody here struggling as far as where they stand on this issue, God, that you would just speak to them about it, Lord. God, that we could turn this thing around, that we could see more lives saved, so that you can rejoice with your creation, God. And I thank you for that, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.